You are listening to The Alex Way.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Alex Way podcast. This is a podcast about passion, dedication, and leadership in the soccer world, the soccer industry. Soccer, as you know, is the most powerful sport and popular as well, financially powerful, and in popularity, well, it's just incredible. Today, we have a special show, but before I introduce you to my guest, I would like to remind you of a couple of things. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel in case you like the video version of the show. If not, go to anchor.fm Moraes Melara, or just look for anchor.fm with the hashtag The Alex Way, and you'll find the podcast. Our podcast is in the most popular podcast platforms such as Spotify, Google Play, and also iTunes. So you can subscribe there too and leave us a review. Of course, we are all over the social media platforms as well. So just look for my personal profile, Alex Moraes, or the hashtag The Alex Way, in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, I want to make mention of my wife's business, Sugar Bread Co. Just go to Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook and order your specialty bread made by a chef. That's Chef Maria Moraes, Sugar Bread Co. Alrighty, so for today's show, we're going to interview our first female coach or female soccer professional guest all the way from España, from Spain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Ana Bejarano.
Hello, everybody. For me, it's a pleasure to talk to Alex and have this interview with him.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for your time, coach, or Ana, if that's okay. I'm very excited to have you here. You are the first female guest and female professional, soccer professional that I've ever interviewed in the history of my show. So thank you so much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Hopefully it's not the last one either.
That's right. No, hopefully not. We have some things prepared for this second season of the Alex Way show with more female professionals, but you happen to be the first one. Well, without any further ado, let's give my guest an appropriate introduction. Okay, so all the way from España, she is from Aracena. We'll talk about more about where Aracena is, but she's from Spain in Europe, and coming from a small town in South Spain. Now, she's played soccer for over 15 years. She has also started coaching. In fact, when it comes to soccer coaching badges, she currently holds her UEFA C license, if I'm not mistaken. So that's pretty impressive. She used to play top level. We would consider that probably sort of a USL championship on the women's soccer side, kind of like a D2 division 2 professional over in for Sevilla FC, Sevilla Football Club. And now she's been coaching for 3.5 years at Missouri Valley College. Now, Missouri Valley College, we'll talk more about this, used to be in some sort of, kind of performing here back and forth, but once she becomes assistant coach, then that's when everything explodes and they reach, I think if I'm not mistaken, finals and fighting for championships. So anyways, this and more throughout our conversation with Coach Bejarano or Coach Ana. So first question first, how do you define who Coach Ana is so we can all have a better idea?
For me as a person, I consider myself passionate about soccer. That is what I love, but also for everything that I do. Like if I don't do anything with passion, it's better to don't do it. So everything that I do, I like to do it with passion. I'm consider myself a hard worker too. And also as a teamwork person, I think so it's so important when we play any kind of sport or even in our workplace, so important to know how to work with everybody else, with your boss and with any coworker. That's how I consider myself.
Awesome. So passionate, hardworking, professional. That's pretty neat. I would like to just know a little bit more and bring some context so we can better understand where you come from. But tell us all a little bit about your hometown. Tell me about Aracena. It's a small town in South Spain. What else is there about Aracena?
I love where I live. Well, my hometown. Not where I live right now, but it's a small town, around 10,000 people. But it's close to Sevilla, that is an hour away. It's close to the beach, another hour away in a different direction. And it's a town where there's not a lot of people, but everybody that lives there is kind of a family. We all know each other. And I really love when I go home and I visit everybody, not just my family. And it's like kind of natural things. Like my parents have farms and everything in my family. So it's kind of rural things and natural stuff.
Okay, that's interesting. So a country girl from Spain.
Mm-hmm. Also, the south of Spain is kind of particular. We have a lot of sunlight. People like to stay in the street until 10, 11 p.m. That's why we have those like kind of weird timing for lunch and dinner. But I love my culture and I love Spain, to be honest. I miss it a lot.
That's awesome. When was the last time you visited your hometown and family?
It was for Christmas, December and January. So I could spend Christmas with my family. For me, it's important to stay with my family in those dates.
Yeah, of course. That's awesome. What are some of the some things that, let me see, what are some of the hobbies that you have outside of soccer, if any?
Man, I love soccer. It's my first passion since I was young, but I also play volleyball. Like I said, I live in my home in my hometown, and we didn't have any women's soccer team. So the only thing that we had, it was volleyball, and I signed up for volleyball. Even I didn't like it just because it took me time instead of playing soccer. So that's why I didn't like it at the beginning. But my parents didn't want me to go in a boys team, is because it was weird about that time to see a woman or a girl playing with boys. So my dad was a little bit scared of, because he knew that I could be good, and the boys would go mad if I dribbled them or something. So I signed up for volleyball, and at the beginning it was the best beginning, but I really love it, and now I miss it. So wow. That's my other passion, my other hobby is volleyball, and hopefully I will play again if I go back home, but just amateur leagues and things like that.
That's so fun. Who knew, huh, about volleyball? Yeah, there's just some things that you can only know if you ask. But very interesting what you say about how your family was protective over you, and also because of the perception within the Spanish culture of not having, then, I'm not sure about now, probably it's a little bit better, could be even better, mm-hmm. but there was no female soccer team. So how do you feel about that? Soccer is so popular, it's so powerful financially, and yet it is until now, decades later, or almost 100 years later, that we're starting to see a rise in women's soccer. Any thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, at the beginning, when I was younger, I had a few problems like that with the boys team, and that I couldn't sign up at the beginning. Then when I was playing high school, just in the breaks, we don't have teams in high school, but we played in the breaks that we had during class, between classes. And I was the only girl that played soccer by that time in my school. So I had a few problems with boys that didn't know me, and, you know, bad things about me. Even when I score a goal, they were complaining about the goalie, and it was just a goal, but it was different because a girl scored a goal. So it was hard at the beginning. I think it's been improving a lot. We still have a lot to improve, but now in Spain, in Europe, in the world in general, women's soccer has been popular. Now we can watch sometimes women's league, national teams on the TV. So I think it's improving a lot, and hopefully I'm not the only one in your broadcast, and we can like have every day or every year more fans in the stadiums.
Absolutely. I mean, it is just so disappointing to see young girls being so passionate about the sport in my home country of Honduras, and yet we have some youth women or female national teams, but we don't have the senior women national squad just yet. We don't have a league that is as supported. There doesn't seem to be that much interest, and number two, that financial support or sponsorship. So it's very disappointing. I mean, we have to do more. And I think it starts with you as a woman, right, getting into this soccer world, and also with all of us really giving opportunities to females. I mean, I was raised by a strong female, my mother. So I'm all about equality. Now, let me see. Can you share with us a little bit more about your soccer experience and some of your achievements as a player?
As a player, like I said, until I was 16 years old, 15, 16, I couldn't play in a girls' team. So I played my whole life in the streets with friends, with older people, younger, all ages on the street. And that's how I learned to play soccer. And obviously watching TV, watching my team, my favorite team, that is Real Betis. And then I called my dad was more into it. And after that, I drafted for Sevilla. That was an hour away, so it was also hard for my family, and I was lucky. I practiced really good that day, and I had the chance to get into the team and play for Sevilla FC, and I have good memories playing for Sevilla. We won some championship 2 years in a row, so it was pretty good. We won the Copa de Andalucía. It's like the state cup. So I played with really good players that are playing first team now and first division in Spain. And most of my teammates by that time are playing now in Spain at world level. And I have really good friends from that for that time. And after that, after 2 years, a company came to me. I was almost graduated in high school, and they told me about the opportunity to come to the US. So I was scared at the beginning, so I didn't pay much attention on it. But after that, I was having like not good moments with friends and everything. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go another country and try, and it was my passion, soccer. And here in the US, women's soccer is a big thing. So I decided to come here and play for Missouri Valley College. It was a great experience. We were one of the best teams in the conference. We couldn't win conference or the conference tournament, but it was a great experience and I learned a lot.
Wow, that's very, very impressive. What do you think happened that you didn't further pursue opportunities in your country? I know you were studying in high school, but didn't you think of playing first division or top levels women's soccer with, well, like your friends?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that when I look back, I kind of like, I wanted to be there. But to be honest, in Spain, like we already said, there is not much opportunities. Even those friends that I said that are playing the first division, they are getting some money now, but it's not enough to live the whole life with that money. Like not with like professional males in soccer. So that's why I decided to come here, because I knew that it was important to get a degree in Spain. I don't know if you know, but it's different to play for a club and a college. We don't have sports in universities or colleges. So it was one thing or the other. And I thought that for my future, it was better to keep studying what I wanted. They would exercise science. And here I had the opportunity to do both. And that's why I came here, to keep playing soccer and to get my degree that was going to be more important for my future.
Of course. Now, let's talk about that experience as an international student. I mean, I'm a former international myself. Now, thankfully, I'm in a position in which I've gone through it all. It's been very difficult. People tend to think, you know, that at least from where I come from, that once you land in the US, your problems are magically gone. And that's not true. Everything takes time, effort, and also money. Money for to undergo every immigration process and status. Mm-hmm. And yet there's no guarantee of us staying. Well, so how was your international student experience at Missouri Valley College?
At the beginning, I mean, we take English in high school, in the school, middle school. But when I came, I felt that I didn't know any English. So it was hard for me. Like in Europe, we learn the British accent. So it was even harder because some words that I thought it was pronounced in one way was a different way here. So I felt that I didn't know anything in English. So I had to take English classes. I had to learn a lot of things. It was also my first time traveling by myself and living away from home. So it was kind of hard, like I said at the beginning, I love my hometown. I love where I live. And it was pretty hard. And I'm like, with my family, and are so important for me. So it was pretty hard at the beginning. And like I said, like you said, it costs a lot of money. But at the end of the day, that's not the most important thing. Yes, it takes time. It costs a lot of money. But your mental health is the most important thing for me. And it was tough at the beginning. My first 2 years, missing home, another culture, different food, and being just away from home, it was hard. But then I could learn English, well, a little bit. I talk English a little bit better now. But once you are here, Marshall, Missouri Valley is like a small college, and it's kind of similar from where I live, so from my hometown. So I know everybody. I have a host family here that helped me a lot. So it was a great experience. And now I feel that this is my home too.
That's so awesome. And what a blessing it is to have or to find a host family or that kind of family, or Americans in general, who are willing to devote their time, their efforts, and love, and pour them onto you, a foreigner, someone who's not even blood related, but they're good people in the U.S., really, really good people in here with a big heart. That's all I have to say. Mm-hmm. Now, with my wife, we speak about maybe in the future when our kid grows up, that we would like to be intentional about helping internationals, because A, I was in that position, and B, she has learned to know that it's not easy to be an international student abroad. Yeah. So how cool, Anna. Okay, so we are in an interview, season 2, with Coach Anna Bejarano, and she's from Spain. So remember, we are in YouTube as well as in podcasting platforms such as Google Play, Spotify, and iTunes. Don't forget to check my work out in my social media with the hashtag The Alex Way, or my name, Alex Moraes. Now, let's talk about your coaching experience. I think this is what we were building up to, okay? And I can see that excitement in your face. So, Anna, first of all, why coaching soccer? You go from playing top level, a player has no responsibility. The only responsibility, actually, sorry, is giving your best, making sure you follow through what the coach wants, and trying to shine in that system of play, in that formation against such opponents in that league, in that season. Why coaching out of the sun and being responsible of all these egos and all these girls? What's up there?
To be honest, my last 2 years playing here in the U.S., I already knew that I wanted to be a coach. Since I was young, I always wanted to be a coach, but in my last 2 years, it was when I took it more serious. I was trying to get my soccer coach's license and everything. Because I just love soccer. I love the idea that we have in Spain, and I would like to transmit it here. And I don't know, it's sometimes it's kind of hard. You work 24/7, that's for sure. Like even when you go home after practice, you are still thinking on the practice, on the next game, on the game that we just played. So it's a hard job, but I love it. I feel that I have the best job in the world. And coaching, again, it's like a family. And for me as international, it's super important to have family that support me and some have people that I can support. So I love it. Like, I love kids too, so I don't mind to coaching kids. I have been coaching this summer, a soccer camp. I also, every time that I went home in the last 3 years, I had a girls academy in my hometown. Was I couldn't have the opportunity to have one, so I tried to have girls, and I was the only one 10 years ago, and now I had 50 girls.
Wow, I had, that's amazing. 50
girls in the academy. Not all of them are still playing, but at least I try. And so I just love kids. I love soccer. So it's kind of a way to putting together everything that I like. And I don't know, the idea, I think, is so important too. I think soccer is like life. So if things go well on the field, things is gonna go well outside of the field. So that's why I decided to be a soccer coach. I love sport, I love soccer, and it's my passion.
Beautiful, beautiful answer. I wanna further ask, when it comes to coaching, What is your experience as a coach? You already mentioned you were a part of this summer camp. I have a clue what you're talking about. It's Barcelona, right? Barcelona, mm-hmm. Summer camps here in the U.S., traveling a lot. But what experience in overall do you have with what clubs, what teams, what organizations, you know?
In my last 2 years here playing, playing career still, every time that I went home, I started a little bit coaching with this academy. And I have done that for 3 years. And after that, when I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to stay at Missouri Valley as an assistant coach. So that was a big step for me, because it's from little kids to a college level. But for me, it was super important to take that step, even if it was like big for me. And I learned a lot. I had the opportunity to have another assistant with me that was from Spain too. And she helped me a lot. I learned a lot from her. Thanks, her. I have done a lot for this college or for this team at Missouri Valley. And this summer, I had the opportunity to stay here during the summer and coach for the Barça Academy. Here in the U.S., there is camps all around the U.S. And I don't know, they contacted me. Also, Barcelona liked me as a head coach, that is a kind of coordinator for them. So I was in charge of three teams, and it was pretty fun. It was a great experience learning from all Barcelona coaches. And now I'm here at Missouri Valley again to see if we can win something this year.
That's amazing. Now, and you got to tell us, with Missouri Valley, as a player, were you able to achieve something important, whether that's not a trophy, not necessarily, but some finals, some battles for championships?
We qualify for playoff, and we finish in the semifinal. So that's the highest that I got playing here at Missouri Valley, but now coaching after 30 years, we could go to nationals. We qualify for the nationals tournament. And we also went to the conference tournament final. That was pretty good and was another historic thing that we did. So no, as a soccer player, but as a soccer coach, I think I'm better as a coach than as a player. So,
oh my goodness, you're so funny. Wow. So that says a lot about the impact that you have on the pitch, because let me speak to this, not to disrespect or discredit any head coach in the college realm, because there's some great head coaches out there on both men's and women's programs. But for those of you who don't know this, when there's an international who assists coaches, assist coaching a team, pretty much the responsibility of training, periodization, session planning, it falls on the assistant coach. In this case, internationals with top playing experience, with that passion to coach, and with a UFSC badge like Anna. So I think it's interesting after 30 years that Anna is added to the coaching staff, and then all of this things happen, qualifying the college to nationals, and why not? Again, no disrespect for the rest of the coaching staff, but we have to be objective and say there is a positive impact of you as a leader and person on the pitch, on and off, for this, ladies. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's true. I was lucky because my head coach, even when I was a GA, a graduate assistant for him, he let me do everything. I mean, he trusted on me, and I was helping the same as the head coach and the assistant coach. So I was lucky with the other staff that I had. And it's not just me. I think it was a process. Before me, we had two Spanish assistant coaches too that played with me in the past. And I think they started the idea of playing, like you said, playing, all the idea that we have in Europe. And when I was playing, and then when I became a coach here, I had the opportunity to stay with one of them and keep planning or keeping that idea for our team. And after 4 years, 3 years, we could qualify for national. So it's a long process, but I agree with you. I think not all the job, but the assistant coaches has an important role in the planning, in the style of playing for the team. And I think it's a long process. This achievement is not just me, it's the coaches that were before me that did a great job, in my opinion.
Of course, and what a great great sense of humility. You seem to be very grounded. That's great. I just wanted to just throw my hat there at you, right? But yeah, you're right. There is an importance to assistant coaches out there. And I think for young coaches who think they have to be the one-man show, the one-woman show, start delegating responsibilities to assistant coaches, start trusting, start educating and training them and learning from each other, so you become a nice team and you work together. I mean, thankfully, I think you and I, we understand, maybe not fully, we still have such a career to go through, but I'm pretty sure we both understand the value of assistant coaches and the great pros of delegating responsibility. It's not all on you now. You have a team to fall on. So anyways, I would like to move on and ask, you said something about, you know, the Spanish coaches started with implementing processes that we use in Europe. Let's talk about that for a second. I know there's some confidential information about your college. We don't want to disclose that about your college, but what defines the style of play of Ana Bejarano? Considering you're not the head coach, right? Maybe there's some things the team does pertaining that style of play, but we don't know really what the college is all about. This is just a personal question. What's your style of play, preferred style of play?
Well, for me, Pep Guardiola is my favorite soccer coach, but also the passion of Cholo Simeone for Atletico de Madrid. So it's kind of mixed in between those coaches. That's my philosophy. With Guardiola, I learned that the ball is a treasure and we have to keep it. And if we have the possession of the ball, the other team cannot score, right?
So
that's the idea. If we have the possession, if we can move the ball, the other team is not going to have the chance to score a goal. So the idea is that to keep the possession, movement is not running, is moving in the right direction and be in the right location on the field. So that's the idea. Movement, pass the ball is important for me. To everybody has the chance to touch the ball in a play. Not everybody, sometimes it's impossible, obviously. But keep moving the ball side to side. That way we can open the space when the other team is tired. And when we see the space, go for it. At the end of the day, the goal is in the middle, not in the wings. So, but if we attract the defenders to the wings, passing the ball to the wings, and then we can create more space in the middle, is how I like to play. And have the chances to finish. And that's kind of the idea that we have in Spain, having the possession of the ball, playing also with triangles, like having always an options on one side or the other for the player that has the ball. And that's the main idea of the Spanish soccer, of the idea that we have been practicing for years and years, since Guardiola or Cruyff were in Barcelona. So that's how I grew up, and now is how I try for my team to play.
So possession play to exploit the wide areas?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you prefer?
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. You keep the ball, which is your treasure, thanks to Cruyff and Pep Guardiola. Cruyff happens to be the mentor of Guardiola, which is great. And it is evident that both Pep Guardiola and Cholo Simeone have had a major impact in Spanish football as we know it. I mean,
yep.
Hence Pep Guardiola, the most successful coach in the history of soccer, if he's not there already. And then Cholo Simeone is the reigning champion with his Atletico Madrid. So you like champions, huh?
Yeah. Awesome. I like a mix of both. I love the passion that Simeone has. When we are defending, I like to be like Simeone. I just go hard for the ball, work as a team, press high. And that's the idea that I have from Simeone and the idea that I have from Guardiola. So it's a mix of both.
Very nice. And then obviously when it comes to defending, you like high press.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily high press, but press together as a team. Like have an organized team. For me, it's so important, organization, and know where our players are all the time. I like when one of my players know what is the other teammate jobs.
So you like high press as a defensive unit,
mm-hmm.
right? When defending.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Great. Yeah, it's a unit. That's great. Yeah, I think we have a couple of common traits, you and I, believe it or not. This is great. Okay, and so let me see. Something that caught my attention was, I think you probably just to clarify, you said something about that the former Spanish coaches that were assisting, who played with you, they implemented ideas from Europe. Are we talking about this kind of ideas? Were those in those ideas, are we talking about a couple characteristics of your preferred style of play, Ana?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like players from Spain or the people that is coaching in Spain, we all have the idea, or we all try to play like that. Even we have teams like Atletico Madrid that you said that are more like direct, a direct team. But if you go to a younger leagues, you can see that all the teams try to play, like I said, keeping the possession, movement, like the Spanish national team. So a lot of
silver medal, right? Silver medal.
Yeah.
Games. Yeah.
We were close. but yeah, that was the idea that we have in Spain. Here is more like more physical style of play that is not bad either. Like I said, I would like a combination of both, having those strong players, but at the same time that they know how to play soccer. So yeah, that's the idea that we have in Spain. That's why I mentioned the former coaches here, the assistant coaches from Missouri Valley College. And that's the idea that we have in Spain. And we try to implement that idea here.
Now, what's your favorite color in between blue and red? What would you prefer between blue and red?
I prefer blue.
Blue, okay, perfect. Let's turn this around. And tell me, what is maybe, I don't know, if you have one system of play that's your favorite, what is it? And if not, what's one of your preferred systems of play? So we can display it here for everyone to see.
Okay. For me, in my opinion,
yeah,
the formation, I will do it in consideration of the players that I have, depending on the players that I have or their skills. If I have fast players, I will put them on the wing and I will play a 4-3-3. If I have smart players in the middle and fast players on the wings, if I don't have fast players, I would like to play a 4-4-2 diamond. That way I also have two reference on the top. One can come and check the ball like a false nine, and we can do a transition faster when we recover the ball.
All right, so
exactly.
If you give this amazing woman smart players in the middle and fast players wide open, then Coach Ana will probably play a 4-3-3. But she said, in case we don't have creative players, then probably we're looking at a 4-4-2 with a diamond shape in the middle. Now, do you want those two people in the middle within the diamond to be wide, your fullbacks close, or your fullbacks free, and then the people in the diamond close to each other?
One defensive mid and two more. Yeah, like that.
All right, that makes sense. With your
that way, down. But also it's so important for the fullbacks, for the wingbacks, to use that space. Because in a 4-4-2, yeah, exactly. We are not gonna have that space on the wings if we have the two players more inside in the middle. Exactly.
Right.
So it will be, instead, when we attack, it will be a 3-4-2 when we attack.
Yes, that makes sense. This is fascinating. We're learning as we speak. This is cool. So, all right. We've talked about your player experience. And by the way, we are with Coach Ana Bejarano, if you're just tuning in. You can find this video on YouTube with the hashtag The Alex Way, or look us up in iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, popular podcasting platforms. Also, we're in social media. Look for my name, Alex Moraes, my hashtag The Alex Way, or just the at Moraes Melara. Now, we've been talking about Coach Ana. She's from Spain. She's from a small town in the south, Aracena, correct? She played as a player, top level soccer, not first division, but then just the division before, still professional for Sevilla, even though her club is Real Betis. We'll talk about it soon. And then she's now coaching. She's been coaching for Barcelona Academy, traveling around around the state of Missouri, I think, or other states, I'm not sure. And also here in, she's part of the coaching staff in Missouri Valley, which also, just good news, she's now a professor also of the college. So anyways, what are you teaching at Missouri Valley? And then we can have an explanation on Real Betis in Sevilla.
Well, it was just to get an extra money, to be honest. but like I said, in Spain, we don't have, like, the salary for coaches is not amazing. So one of the ideas, if I go back to Spain, is also to be a professor. So that's why I wanted to have some experience here if I had the chance. And they gave me the chance. I'm gonna teach freshman seminar. And I said in the interview that it was, in my opinion, a good way for international students to have an international professor that already lived the experience of being a student here at Missouri Valley. And also the experience of being international and being in a different country, different language, and all those stuff. So I think I'm gonna have pretty much all international students in my classes.
That's amazing. What's the name of your the course you're teaching?
Freshman seminar.
Is that okay? So yeah, so it's like for international, for freshman experience, pretty much. You probably will have some nationals too, right? Some American students, correct?
Yeah. But I think there is a few classes, because obviously there are a lot of freshmen, and they put me as a professor because of that, because I'm international. So I think I'm gonna have a lot of international students in my class.
Very, very nice. Now, please explain to us, why Sevilla and not Real Betis? What happened? What happened there?
Again, we go back. I didn't have a team. So, and Betis is my favorite team, because my whole family, my dad's family, since I was a kid, I was 3 years old, I think, 4 years old, the first time that I went to the stadium. So I didn't have a choice. They just bought me a Betis jerseys, Betis scarves, and took me to the stadium, watching TV all the time, Real Betis. So that's why Real Betis is my favorite team, and it's close to home. So I had the opportunity to go to the stadium a lot of times. And why Sevilla, not Betis? Well, again, I live in a small town. I didn't have a soccer team where I could play. So I went to one practice in the Betis facilities. And I talked to the president for the women's team. And they told me that if I wanted to play for Betis, I had to have a soccer team, and they will go and watch me play.
Right.
but I didn't have the opportunity because I didn't have any teams to go to. I was not gonna sign up like for a regular team and had to travel an hour away every day for practice. And after that, I trained during the summer because another that is professional, another professional team that is called Sporting de Huelva, that is where I live in the provincia. They called me because I knew a referee. I played with some of the referees for that league that they were playing in my hometown. So I played with them one game, and one of the referees came to me and said, hey, I think you're good to play in this team. I'm going to talk to the president. They called me. I had the chance to go and play a tournament for them. But then I got the opportunity to be drafted for Sevilla. I knew that they were doing a draft. So I just went to see the level. I already had a team, so I didn't have any pressure, and I just went there. The facilities were better. The highway was better for my family. It wasn't that long, the trip. One, it was an hour and 30 minutes. The other was an hour. So for me and my family, it was better to go to Sevilla FC. And now, obviously, Betis and Sevilla are rivals. But like for me, I had a great experience playing for Sevilla, and I have kind of my heart also for Sevilla. I don't support them, but I have like great memories with Sevilla, and that's why I couldn't go. I couldn't play for Betis. But yeah, now a lot of teammates that I had in Sevilla are playing for Betis now, so it's kind of weird.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It wasn't that easy with your family, wasn't it?
No. I mean, my parents also support me on everything that I do, but I also had to understand that it's not easy to spend that many hours, that many hours on the car, driving me to practice and asking people to work for them and everything. So they always support me on everything that I have done, but obviously it wasn't easy for them either.
Of course, no, that makes sense. So we are reaching the last portion of this, I think, wonderful talk. It's been really, really fun. I hope that you've enjoyed, everything so far. Very relaxed, very educational. That's what we are looking for in this podcast, is to educate ourselves with some of the experience and knowledge of our guests. And obviously, in this case, when we have international guests, we just like to know more about their culture. So I think I have to go over maybe two more things here. The lightning round is kind of popular because I pop random words and then hopefully my guests give me the first word that comes to their brains. Now, if you don't have a word, then it's okay. It can be a phrase, but the first thing, and there's a series of things coming at you. But before we go to Coach Ana's light round, like I like to call it, I would like to ask you, what is next for you in this journey? What do you think? What's your dream?
For now, I would like to finish my season with my team. Hopefully, we can win conference or win something this year, going to nationals again. That's our goal, and that's my first point for this season and my close goal, let's say. And for my future, I would like to be a professional soccer coach, and not just to be a professional. Like I said, soccer is my life, and living or being from Spain, I understand that soccer coaching is not a good salary back home. So for me, living just coaching soccer, not having another job, is enough for me. So coaching a team where I can get paid enough to live and save a little bit of money, it would be fine for me. But obviously, if I can reach the professional level, I will do it. And that's my dream, coaching in Spain at professional level. And I don't mind of being the first woman in coaching in La Liga. That's like I always said to my mom, obviously it's hard. But I don't know. I don't mind to coach men's or women's. I don't care about that. I just want to be a soccer coach at the highest level. And for now, I like just to like experience, keep learning. So after this year, maybe I go somewhere else and try to coach a different level, a different team. Let's see what happened with my life, but that's the idea.
This is great. So we've gone through some fun things, and now I've taken notes on all of your answers when mm-hmm. it comes to the style of playing attack, the style of playing defense, also your preferred systems of play, whether you have, you know, your very quality players, technical, tactical players, or your players with not so much creativity. Then we have your short-term goal, win a championship with Missouri Valley College would be fantastic, especially because probably, or who knows, but probably it seems like you are going through what could be your last season, who knows. And then the long-term goal is to become a professional coach in La Liga, right? So I got it here. Learning the most I can from my guests. And Hannah, the last thing we have is a lightning round. So we're going to get started. This is the lightning round for Coach Hannah. Are you ready?
Oh, I don't know. Kind of scared.
All right. So no, nothing political, nothing religious. So you don't have to worry about that. It's all about what we've talked about and just to see what things come to mind. Again, I would like to do it as quick as you can with one word. But if you don't have one word, it's fine. Believe me, it's fine. Okay. So you ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I say names? Sorry, can I say names or?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so let's get started. So this is the lightning round, and I'm going to throw random words and let's give us thoughts about those words as soon as possible. España.
Food.
Aracena.
Castle. We have a castle, so it's the most famous thing.
Nice. Betis.
Passion.
Sevilla.
Memories.
Family.
Love.
Traveling.
Experience.
United States of America.
Wow. Opportunities.
Your host family.
Just one word.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Big hurt. Love too. I don't know.
Soccer coaching.
Passion again.
La Liga.
Well, I have to think about that.
No problem. Okay. How about this? Soccer, football.
My life.
La pelota, the soccer ball.
A treasure, like I said before.
Your most important influence in this game.
Guardiola.
And then anything, any, this is out of the lightning round, Anna. Any sort of advice that you would like to give to that little girl who is listening, who's watching, who could see this and go, I don't have opportunities. I don't have a girls team, but I want to be a professional woman soccer player, college player, or coach.
Like I said, I come from a small town, a small family, and nobody gave me anything. My parents, my mom played basketball. My dad played futsal, but not a professional level, just for fun with friends. So if you work hard, you can get whatever you want. You can achieve wherever you want, but you have to put the passion on it. And don't listen to people, just the people that really love you, your family, your friends, because they are gonna find always some people, some coaches that are gonna tell them that they cannot go to a professional level, they cannot achieve what they want. If you keep trying it, if you find a way to do it, if you spend days and days training or working on it. I had a lot of problems with friends telling me why you don't go out, or because I have a game tomorrow, I have practice, I need to rest, it's good for my performance. And that was the most important thing. So just balance the things that you want. If people can tell you, you cannot do this, just do it, just listen to your family. And for families, it's not for the girls that are listening to me. For families, it's important for them to support their kids and not push them to be professional. They just play soccer or any kind of sport to enjoy, so let them enjoy, because if they push them, they are gonna get tired of it. And the most important thing when they play is to enjoy. That's one thing that I always tell my players, that I always tell the little kids when I coach little kids, is to enjoy. If they don't enjoy, they're gonna get tired of it. So at the young age, just enjoy with the ball. Go and play in the streets. It's how I learn, and is how I get that passion. And watch soccer, because watching soccer is gonna teach you how to play. So that's one of the advice, that here in America, they watch baseball, they watch football, but not much soccer. So for the girls here in America, my advice is to watch soccer, play in the street, not just in the club. In the club, they will learn technical, tactical things, but in the street, they will learn how to think quicker, how to play free, and that's super important to enjoy and for soccer in general.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Coach Anna. It was a pleasure. Our first female guest in the show, and not the last one. So I just want to say thank you. I want to wish you the very best on behalf of our audience. And hopefully, could we have you again, this time in Spanish?
Okay, for me, it was a pleasure. And either Spanish for me, I'm going to be more confident. If I talk a lot in English, imagine in Spanish. So I don't mind to do it in Spanish if you need. For me, it's a pleasure to talk to you, to be in your broadcast, and to have you as a friend.
Thank you so much. Same here. We'll continue to support each other. Wish you the best. And thank you. Thank you for your time. As of now, we are good to go. This was the Alex Way Podcast Season 2. First female professional guest of the soccer industry in the show. Not the last, I can promise you that. Go to social media, check out the handle, Moraes.
Or Alex, go to Alex Moraes in Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Go to my YouTube channel, check out the podcast, and just share, leave us a review, subscribe, like, and make sure people know who Ana is. I'll see you in the next episode. Oh, and before I forget, check out the description, because I've left Ana's social media, and I'm positive sure if you reach out to her, she's probably going to talk to you too. So bye-bye and see you soon. Ciao.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Alex Way. We're all over the internet. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn.